Okay, so good day. My name is Lex Verhoen, a Unix admin since end of the 90s. And today I'm going to talk to you about BGP, one of my pet peeves. Just to manage expectations a bit, this will not be about BGP on the internet. I mean, I already mentioned it, I'm a Unix admin. I do stuff on LANs, and this talk will be about using BGP on your own LAN for a couple of purposes. We're first going to do a quick refresher on IP routing, just to be sure we're all on the same page. I will do a quick overview about BGP and what it's capable of. And then I'm going to talk about three different, projects you can do with BGP. Anycast routing, black hole routing, and eventually, and there will be a workshop about this as well, a virtual or darknet internet exchange. So, quick recap. Every system that's connected to IP will have a routing table, and it's just a table which routes networks to a certain destination. For most systems, this will just be a default route, but it can be very big. All this information is kept in the routing table. And there is this thing where the most specific route wins. So you can have just a bunch. It allows you to, the commands to add these on a Linux and Windows system are shown. This is what it looks like schematically. For those that are visually oriented. This is where two networks, 192.168.0.0, want to talk with 172.16.0.0, with a router in between. And basically, you just point the route that you want to reach with the next hop. In this case, 192.168.0.1 to go that way, and 172.16.0.1 to go the other way. Managing this stuff by hand is pretty tedious. And that's why when they built the internet, they used BGP for it. It allows you to automate the exchange of routes. And it can become quite big. The current internet, when I wrote this presentation originally, it had about 944k IPv4 prefixes, 170k IPv6 prefixes, distributed across 75k different autonomous systems. An autonomous system is basically a... Oh, God, no. Oh, boy. autonomous system is a administrative number that's used within BGP, and it describes a single system. So you can have a bunch of routers, and they all belong to the same autonomous system number, and it allows the protocol to perform its magic. One of the coolest things about BGP is that it has a extensive route selection algorithm. If you want to perform traffic engineering or, I don't know, label traffic and do all kinds of cool stuff, it's possible with BGP. And because it's so explicit, it gives you a lot of options to manipulate traffic. One of the ways that you can do that is by each route that you add within BGP, you have a bunch of attributes, including two 16-bit numbers that you can use arbitrarily. And it makes, based on all these attributes, you can create policies. And these policies can make your router do, everything it can do with routes, but then programmatically. It also has filtering capabilities, as you maybe can imagine. Exchanging about 1 million routes can become quite problematic here and there. By being able to filter, you can control the flow of packets. There's a big difference between internal and external BGP. I'm not going to bother all you with this all because I'm just a sysadmin. And the biggest thing I really like about BGP is its interoperability. You can basically take any router and just plug it in and do BGP with it. And most of the tricks that I'll be showing, you can pull off with most routers. I already mentioned the route selection algorithm. I'm not going to run through all of this, but just to give you an example, this is what happens with each router and each prefix it receives. So, and one of the big problems on the internet, you know, is if you have 1 million routes and you need to process all these steps for all 1 million routes times the number of peers you have. This is why internet routers are so expensive. It's pretty hard to get this done. But again, I won't bore you with this because I'm just going to keep it simple. So what is the basic construction of BGP? So you have two routers and you want to talk with attach the two. You set up a BGP peering between the two. It's pretty simple to configure. You just need a bunch of things. You need to know the autonomous system number of your peer. You need to have a direct connection to the peer, and you need to know and you need to know their prefixes so that you can filter on them. With this information, you can set up a BGP peering and get it done. And one really, really, really important thing. Do not forget this. I already mentioned interoperability. Personally, I've built the BGP with all these things already. It's really fun. Everybody should use it. So just to jump into the interesting content, in my opinion, one of the first tricks I learned to do with BGP was anycast routing. It's a way to perform load balancing across servers without an actual load balancer. The basic principle is that you have a bunch of servers, and all these servers share a IP address. They use a health check to advertise and withdraw the IP address from a server. And using BGP, this will automatically lead to a route update and clients will be automatically redirected. The cool thing about this is that it does geo-load balancing built in. So suppose you have a bunch of routers distributed across, Europe, and you advertise the same IP address across all these different data centers, all the traffic will stay local because all your clients, they will just go to the nearest system and it will get redirected. And this gives you a pretty cheap way to do geo load balancing. Another thing that's really cool about this is that it does load balancing on the IP level, which means it's protocol agnostic. And even though we nowadays have level 4 HTTP load balancers, this still means this method does not do TLS man-in-the-middle attacks for most load balancers, which can or cannot be an issue depending on your network. by default, traffic will always be routed towards the most preferred IP address. So if you have five servers, only one of them will actually be active. A way to work around this is by using equal cost multipath routing. This will make your router distribute the traffic among all your hosts. And using this combination, you basically have a best of both worlds load balancing setup without actual load balancers. One nuance in this whole setup is microsegmenting, because this works with routing. If your systems are all in the same subnet, you will get asymmetrical routing if your clients are in the same subnet. So it's best to split off your services into individual VLANs. And that way, all traffic will always be forced through the router, and thereby you won't have any issues with your routing. God, no. So yeah, Anycast routing. Like I mentioned, it works best with microsegmenting. And another really nice thing about this is its scalability. If your traffic rate, for instance, is below a gigabit, using load balancers is not that expensive. But as soon as you go over it, things will get quite expensive really fast. And since with those networks you have also expensive routers that can do the same thing, it's I think it's less expensive in the long run. One of the best known examples of Anycast routing is the DNS route. Worldwide there are, I don't know the exact number, but there are, from the top of my head, and 10, 20-ish something IP addresses, which are shared by a couple of thousand servers worldwide to provide the DNS route. And it works pretty well. And I think that's a testimony for its capabilities. And you don't need a lot to do this. You just need a box, which can do BGP. And you need to have some way of determining if your service is running either a bash script or a Python script or PowerShell or what have you. It will work. Another really cool trick you can pull with BGP is so-called source-based remotely triggered black hole routing. This is a trick where you use null routes or black hole routes to create a form of a distributed firewall. How this works is that you, black hole routing, for those that don't know, is a way to route traffic to nowhere, thereby preventing packets from entering your network. The cheap and dirty yes. It can be used in a form for DDoS attacks, where you have upstream a provider upstream that does this, and it will take it will block traffic towards your some IP address. It works a little bit differently because that's destination based black hole routing, and it's just a way to push traffic away from your network. This works a bit differently by blocking the source. So if you're under a DDoS attack, yeah, this is not going to stop you. Definitely not. But it will give you a way to block IP addresses, basically. So how this works is you have something that parses your logs. That can be sensors, it can be an intrusion detection system, it can be your firewall logging, it can be whatever you want. Get something, extract the IP addresses, and then you advertise these IP addresses using BGP onto your network, and you add an attribute called community to it. This is optional, but it gives you a way to distinct black hole traffic from regular traffic. Based on these communities, all your routers can make a decision to drop the traffic. The good thing about this is that it works. It's pretty easy to implement. It scales with the capabilities of your routers, and it's relatively fast. I built a couple of POC environments for this setup, and given four locations, I could block a IP address which was detected in one network. Within 3 seconds, I got it blocked on all my networks. Does mean you need to manage the block list yourself, so it does require some software development, but yeah, it works pretty well. Sorry, can you repeat? Yeah. You could. That's a fun thing. Oh, I'm sorry. So if you have a BGP pairing with somebody else, could you share this information with them? Yes, you can. That's the fun thing about BGP and its extensive filtering capabilities. If you want to perform something like this, make an agreement with somebody and reconfigure your pairings and poof, just send the data. And it can go both ways. And since this is just BGP, almost every kind of router that you can will attach to this. So, yeah. And to make there's also a workshop part attached to this, and I was planning to do both Anycast and RTBH as in the workshop, but since I'm here with a bunch of hacker folks and we all have hacker spaces, I thought I'd do the most fun part as a workshop, which is a darknet internet exchange. What is an internet exchange? It's the it's on the internet. It's basically a bunch of switches and different parties connect to these switches, and using BGP they exchange routes, and that's one of the ways how the whole internet is connected together. As a mere mortal, you will usually not get access to one of these internet exchanges, but you can build your own, and it's relatively easy to do since it's just a switch. And so that's what we're going to do here in the workshop later on in the Hack Center. If you build this for, say, a hackerspace, it will give you a platform where all your members can learn about routing. It gives you a way to attach, connect each other's networks. And it will just give you a safe environment to play with pretty fundamental internet technologies. And that's what makes it fun. In order to get this done without being without needing to register with one of the RIRs, you use VPN as a transport. This can be whatever VPN you choose. I've built them with IPsec and GRE, WireGuard, OpenVPN, Tink, you name it, it can do this trick. There are a bunch of different topologies you can make because BGP is very flexible. The architecture I'm going to talk about is basically a hub-spoke architecture. So it's people will connect to a router that I operate, and you can also connect to each other. But it's that's a bit out of scope. But normally you will just connect to a internet exchange, and over that internet exchange you connect to everybody else as much as possible, and this will create a partial or full mesh within this switch, which routes traffic between each other. As mentioned, it's a mostly a learning platform. I think it's a really interesting way to get started with BGP. And it's also One thing you need to know is, especially if you connect with networks that you don't control, say the home networks of everybody at a hackerspace, everybody will have their own subnets. And if you don't want to use NAT, you will need to have a central administration and registration of all the networks you use, which can be a bit cumbersome, but it's also a nice trick to relabel your network. And that's also a fun exercise. Woo-hoo! But just beware that if you want to scale such a thing, you will definitely need an IP administration. So yeah, as mentioned, this is what I would like to build with you all. Over at Nerdspace, we run a FTP server with stuff, really fun. I've got a router set up at the Hack Center, which uses WireGuard to connect to Nerdspace, that all works, and on this router, I run OpenVPN and BGP. If you want to join, for instance, on your laptop, I can get you a set of VPN certificates and talk you through installation and configuration of BERT to get a BGP pairing and eventually be able to access the FTP server with stuff. Yeah, short and sweet, but that's the thing. Are there any questions? Woohoo! Thank you. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Oh, if you're bringing your own hardware, it's supported. Yes, if it can run OpenVPN, it will work. Oh, we can get something set up, definitely. Oh, yes. Yes. No. If you need a virtual machine for this, no. You just need something that can run OpenVPN. And that should also be able to run some routing software, whatever you choose. I took OpenVPN and BERT as an example, but there are multiple tricks you can use to connect you. This was just to keep it simple for everybody. All right, well, thank you. And I hope to see you in the Hack Center. So I'm sitting there with a wizard sticker on my laptop. Just find me and we'll get it set up whenever you want. That the router will be up and running the whole event. So, yeah. Okay, thanks.